Okay, so we're in Nun Tet today. I'm going to begin on Nun Chet Beis 58b, and we'll go back over the Gemara from yesterday. Two lines from that's two dots, around 10 lines from the bottom. So Amar Rav Mekhil Dam Kol Gufo Batar. So Rav says a person could cut away the chin. We're not talking about the facial hair, but other body hair he could remove with a tar, with a razor. Lefor is what Rav is saying. Though the Gemara is going to have a different shot in a minute. So Meifrei, the Gemara asks a kasha against Rav from the following brisa. The brisa says, "Hamav yirbeta shechi yirbeta erva." If a person removes the hair from the armpits or the genital area, hareza loket, he gets malkot. So Rav said you can remove it with a tar, and the brisa says you get malkot. Again, I should say ahead of time, the Gemara here again. We know that there's a prohibition against lo takifu pat roshchem, against shaving off the sideburn area for men. And then there's lo tashkid pat kenecha. Then there's a lav against, you know, taking a razor to the like the beard and the chin. But there's a different lav in the Torah which we mentioned yesterday, which is lo yilbash gever simlat isha. A man should not wear the garment of a woman. Lo yilbash gever simlat isha. Lo yekli gever al isha. A man's garment shouldn't be on a woman. A man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing. So that's the part that we're exploring today about the word certain conduct. We take it as, like the Gemara takes it, is like the way a woman would adorn herself. So the point is, Rav says that a person can trim his body hair with a tar, and the Braisa says you get malkot if you do that. So the Gemara says no contradiction. Habatar, habmisparayim. That the Bryce is talking about, if you use a blade, then you get malkot. And Rob is talking about use misparim, use scissors. So Rob has only said you can take scissors and trim the other area of the body hair. So the Gemara says about Rob Nami Batar Kama, but Rob said a tar. So you're saying he meant a scissors. How could that be? So Kain tar. So Rob meant it's like gets a close cut, similar to a tar, not that it's a tar. So we learned right now so far. The Rav says you can take a scissors and cut body hair, you know, other than the facial hair. And the Braisa says if you cut with a tar, then you get malkot. So we'll see shortly. More figures that this means malkot margot on a rabbinic level. So Amr Chibra Abba, Amr Biokran, Chibra Abba says the name Rabbi Yochanan, Hamav Yerbeta Shech, Yerbeta Erva Loke. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying the same thing that the Bryce above said. Rabbi Yochanan says if a person removes the hair of the armpits or the genital area, he gets malkot, he gets lashes. So Meitvei, and this we think he means Minotaurah. So Meitvei, we ask a question against Rabbi Yochanan from the following Bryce. Barat say our enemy Dibri Tol, enemy Dibri Sofrim. Removing the hair from the body hair is not a Dereisa din, it's just Drabanan din. So my lokanami the kamar mean drabanan. So what did Rabbi Yochanan mean that you get malkot? Presumably what the Braisa earlier meant as well, meant on a drabanan level. So let's just summarize for a minute, and then we're gonna go on and then we'll pause. So the Gemara again, we're talking about, you know, the law of lo yilbash gever simlati isha. Man is not allowed to wear a woman's garment. So Rav taught us that a person could with his scissors could cut body hair other than the face. And then we learned also, though, if you remove it with a razor, so you get malkot on a drabanan level. That's not the deraisa violation of the halacha, but the drabanan. Let me do a few more lines, and then we'll pause and we'll talk. So the top line on Nuntedim Aleph 59a, the top line. So ikad amri, others say amri kibar abba Rabbi Yochanan amavir beta shech you beta erva loke mishum lo yibash geber simlati isha. So other people say that Rabbi Yochanan actually said that if you remove the hair from the armpits or the genital area, you get malkot. There's a lo yubash gever simlat isha. So from the fact that he quotes the pasuk, so that makes us think that in this statement, Rabbi Yochanan is saying you get malkot on a deraisa level. You get malkot. In other words, you're violating the Easter Minotaurah if you're, you know, shaving away the hair from the armpits and the genital area. So Meifei, on this we ask Kasha from the following braisa. Havar seyer, enemy divrei Torah, let me divrei sofrim. The braisa that we had just mentioned a few lines earlier, that it says removing the hair is not a deraisa prohibition, it's rabbinic prohibition. So the Gemara says, Enachinami, that Tana holds, it's the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yochanan, Huda Marki Aitana, Rabbi Yochanan holds like the following Tana. The Tani, we learn in the Braisa, He says that you are over. So now, so again, so we're having a bit of a machloket here. So we're learning one opinion is saying that if I remove the armpit hair, the genital hair, so presumably with a razor, so I violated din Torah of lo yubash skever simlat isha. And then the earlier Kemta said that would just be a din rabbanan. So with one second we'll get to. Okay, but Tanakama means the earlier Tana. Then there was the Tana who said, that we just quoted, and who said on Nun Chen Amun Bey's feelings at the bottom, that it's a Drabanan, the Tanakama, Hai Lo Yibash Geber Mai Darish Bey. So one side says, Lo Yibash Geber Simlati Shah, if I shave off the hair, that includes that Isur. But what does the other Tana hold? That it's only Drabanan if I remove the hair. So how does he understand the Pasuk? What, in other words, how do you violate the Pasuk on a Torah level? So we violate the Tanya. He needs it like that, which we learn in the Braisa. Lo yekli gever al isha, that a man's garment shouldn't be on a woman. My Talmud Omar, what is the Torah teaching me that you can't, what does the Pasuk mean? Im shol yabash ish simlat isha, it means that a man should not wear a woman's clothing. Bisha simlat ish, and a woman shouldn't wear a man's clothing. Harei kvar nemar toiva hi, v'inkan toiva. So it's, the Torah says, lo yekli gever al isha, b'lo yabash gever simlat isha, hi tovat Hashem kol oseela. That's a toiva, an abomination. So the Gemara takes it, if it's a toiva, that implies that some sexual wrongdoing is taking place, more significant than wearing clothing of the opposite sex. So the Gemara doesn't think that's what the thrust of the pasuk is. Ella shoyibash ish simlat isha. So the thrust of the pasuk is that a man shouldn't wear a woman's garment, yeshay ben hanashim, and then like disguise himself and sit and, you know, sit among, mingle among the women. But Yisha Simlat Ish, nor should a woman wear a man's clothing, Teshei Ben Hashem, and then sit among the men. So according to this Tana, so he's saying the Easter Midoraisa would be that if you not just put on different clothes, and then you proceed with that clothes to kind of like embed yourself with the opposite sex. That's what he's saying. All right, let me just summarize for everybody who walked in. I know what happened. It was like the bell rang, everybody walked in the door. Anyway, you came at a good time, Yosef, because I need some sorim. First, I need, in Yoredeya, I need Kuf Pei Gimel. That would be, I think, the second volume of Yoredeya. Then, wait. I don't think you have it over there. So I'll do Baal Peh. And then, okay, thank you so much. Wait, don't go anywhere. Let me make sure I got the right volume. Yeah, this is the right volume. All right. So let me just summarize what we did so far, and then we'll take it from there. So the Gemara, we said the set of lavim, which is the way we hooked into this, or lavim that prescribe, you know, lo takifu pat roshem, you're not allowed to shave off your sideburns that we have, and lo tashkita pat sekanefa, and you can't put a razor on your beard. And if you do that, there's different lavim. If the beard, five lavim involved. And then with lo takifu, you have one lav. But then the Gemara said there's another lav of lo yilbash gever simlat isha, that a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing. So the Gemara got into a topic. According to Rav, it came out that if a man would use a scissor to cut his body hair, like the armpits and the genital area, so according to Rav, that's green light to do that. Rav told us, like, take scissors and cut those areas. And then the quoted a Braisa, and on the earlier Braisa said, if I do that, I get Malkot, but it comes out I only get Malkot on a Drabanan level. I'm only violating a Drabanan if I cut off that hair. According to the first Sukkim, on a Drabanan level. Then on Nuntenam Nalif, we quoted a different statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who said, if you remove the hair, you're over on Lo Yubash Kev Simlan Isha, which sounds like you're over on a Doraisa level, yet Malkot on the Torah level. So that's a different Lashon Rabbi Yochanan. So we said that's Machloket about this. In other words, that second version of Rabbi Yochanan goes like one Braisa, and the first Braisa holds differently. So the second Braisa that holds, that Gufa is the violation of the Torah. If I use a razor and take off the hair, then I'm over on Lo Yubash Geber Simlat Isha. In other words, that's the way women, you know, adorn themselves. So if you do that, you're violating the Torah level. So the Gemara says, according to the first Ukimta, that I'm only over on a Drabanan level when I do that. So what is the Doraisa Aveira? How on a Torah level do I violate Lo Yubash Gevurah Sim Ladisha? So he learns like the Tana that says it doesn't make sense when the Torah says Lo Yubash Gevurah Sim Ladisha, that just putting on clothes would be the whole Aveira, because it calls it a Toeva. The Toeva implies that there's like some, you know, sexual wrongdoing involved. It's more than just putting on clothes. The Gemara says, Bryce says that he puts on clothes and then he embeds himself with the opposite sex, and presumably for sexual wrongdoing. So that's where we're at right now. Okay, now who's got questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah, go ahead. Wait, say again, repeat. Well, the Torah says, all right. There's always two levels, the mitzvah and the Torah, and why the Torah says to do it. So the mitzvah and the Torah says, lo tachifu pad roshchem, don't round off the corners of your heads. So that's why we can't do it. It's like the Torah says, don't eat chametz, don't eat this, don't eat other things. Why is, so that when you come why, there could be different reasons for the why. But I think that the way the Mepharshim learned, it was the derech of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, cut their hair in such a fashion, so that's why the Torah says not to do it that way. All right. No. It doesn't mean it's not a problem, but according to that Tana, that's not the violation of Torah. It's not a violation of Torah. All right. Now, the Okay. So anyways, the Mechaber discusses this in Siman Kuf Pei Beis, and first he says, he says that the Machaber is going with the different lashon, not the first lashon, but the second lashon. He says if you remove like the hair in the armpit or the genital area, even with the scissors, they would give him malchut mardut. He says, he says that in a place where the women do that, then you get malchut mardut. But if in that locality men also do that, then you don't get malchut mardut. And he said, and the Rama says, the Rama says it's permissible even lechakila. He says, but tamid chamim, they always avoid doing this. Then he says, One second. All right, we're going to see more of that. What about shaving
the pubic hair?
Yeah, that's correct.
Rama says,
No. But he says, even with the scissors, he says. In other words, the Mechaber says, even with the scissors prohibited, but then the Rama says, if in the locality the women do that, then you have a green light to do it.
Men do that.
Right. If in locality men and women both do it, then you can do it. But he only says Bechorah to do it with a scissors. I don't know if it says to do it with a razor. Yeah, the razor sounds like worse, because that Bechorah, you mean according to one of Kim to the Gemara, that was the Easter Doraisa, no? In other words, according to the second Lashon, that's the Easter Doraisa. According to the second member of Rabbi Yochanan, that group is the Doraisa. But I don't know. One second. Yeah, but of Kain Tar, of a low batar, he says, one second. Yeah. Yivarim, no, that's really different. One second. All right. I'm not.
Once you say that, you're not to do it, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Okay, now, all right. We'll see more in a bit. Let me do a little more on this, and then we'll do more. All right, now. Okay, so we're around midway down the column on Nuntet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, "Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Amar, Minayish to Tisei Yisha B'Chlei Zayin L'Milchman." Now, I should add on, there's a. Can you give me the chumash, the devarim on the second shelf on the right, the red? I'm sorry to bother you, Yosef. Go to the right. Go to the right. Go up. Yeah, there you go. Devarim. Thank you. What? Yeah, but you know, you there's not a different start here. Okay, all right. Now I should add on. If you look in the Chumash, let me get Parshas Ki Tetzeh out. So it mentions in the Chumash. This is one second. Okay. Yeah. So please, I need everyone's attention. Okay. Now, here's the way the Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel translates the pasuk. It says, "Lo yekli geber al isha," that a man's clothing shouldn't be on a woman. "Lo yibash geber simat isha," a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing. "Lo yibash geber," a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing. He says, "Lo yegulyan de tzitzit ritfilin v'yinon tikuni geber al ita," that a garment of tzitzit, like a tzkal's katan or tfilin, which is considered malbushe ish. In other words, that's a man's adornment, shouldn't be on a woman. In other words, so he's saying, like, for a woman to put on tzitzit or tfilin, which has gotten like a little bit of a hot issue. Like people say, you know, right. In other words, generally we say that if it's a mrs. Essay's man grama, women are exempt, but they could do it if they would choose. But here, by tzitzit and tfilin, so the poskim have reasons not to permit it. Okay, so he says
talks about a gufnaki.
Let us be patient. Hold it. Wait 2 minutes. Okay, so he says, isn't it better when you come here in person for, and then you're more able. You're on top of the place now.
And I can't be muted.
Okay, 1 second. A man shouldn't cut away the hair of his armpits and his genital area. Ube anpui sounds like his face. To appear like a woman. Because that's far away from Hashem, whoever does that. Now, let's take a look here in a minute. Now, let me do a little more in the Gemara. Then I'll summarize with some halacha, and then we'll open up the table, the floor for all questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So I'm in the middle of the Amud on Nun Tanam and Aleph. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Amir. How do we know that a woman shouldn't go with weapons to war? In other words, they're saying adornments doesn't have to be clothing. In other words, even the Gemara takes that weapons is a man's type of adornment. This is Taman Lomar, lo yekli geber al isha, lo yibash geber simlat isha, lo yekli geber al isha, pause. Then, lo yibash geber simlat isha, a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing, so yitaken ish b'tkinei isha, a man shouldn't, you know, have women's adornment. So Amar Rav Nachman, Benazir Mutar. So Rav Nachman says, if the person is a Nazir, so a Nazir is going to shave off the hair on his head. So the Gemara takes it like, that's like he's looking like not so positive. In other words, he's not looking to improve his looks. So if, according to Rav Nachman, if in addition to shaving off the hair on his head, he shaves off the genitals or the armpits, it's Nishkafer. It doesn't make a difference because he's not trying to like improve his looks. The late Hilchatak Bate, but the Lacha does not follow him. Now, Amrili Rabbanan Reb Shimon Bar Abba. The Chachamim said to Reb Shimon Bar Abba, Chazina Reb Yochanan delately. Like, we've seen Reb Yochanan, he doesn't have hair under his armpits. And Reb Yochanan himself says, according to the second Lashon, you get Malkon on a Dereisa level. According to the first Lashon, you get Malkon on a Rabban level. And it seems like maybe he's removed it. So Amar Lahon, Rabbi Ami, he says, Amar Lahon, Machman Zikna Nashru. So, right, so Rav Shimon Bar Abba says he was old and the hair came out. Michael, is that the case?
Yes.
When you get older, it comes out?
Yes, well, your head, and your arms, and your legs.
Is that typical?
Some people. It's hormonal.
All right, now, Hahu did Chayiv Nagida Kamid Rabbi Ami. It was somebody who was Chayiv Malkot before Rabbi Ami. Iglai Beit HaShechi, they like stripped him to give him Malkot lashes. So before you give lashes, like they take off the shirt and then going to tie him to the post and whip him. So they saw his armpits, the Lomagalik, were not shaved off. Now, there's a whole machloket among the Mefarshim how to understand the Sugya, and I'm going to go over some pshat in a few minutes. But a pshat just to hold us in place for now, the way the Ran learns Masechet Avodah Zarah, is that in this locality, people were shaving under their armpits. And so men and women. But this person that they wanted to give Malchot to didn't do that. So Amar Lahon Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami said to the people there, Shukur, leave him, the Minch Avrayu, who I see, he's one of the Chaverim, he's a firm person, whereas Mistami, he's giving like Malkot or Ben Makat Market for some reason. So he says, I see he's a firm guy, let's leave him alone. Now, this another six lines, and then I'll pause. Well, we'll do some other things, and I'll pause. So by me name Rav, named Rabbi Chia, so Rav asked question Rabbi Chia, Mahud Legalea. He says, are you allowed to shave off the hair of the armpits, genitals? Amalei Asur, he's not allowed to. Amalei Bahakad Gadel, but it grows and becomes very uncomfortable. Let's take a look at Tosfos, on three or four lines from the bottom. Bahakad Gadel, Hobus Tofu Ligadel, with a Tsaero To, So the idea is that the prohibition is to cut it off to make yourself look beautiful in a way, like women or whatever. But here, the purpose in cutting it off wouldn't be to look beautiful; it's just to remove the discomfort. So back in the Gemara, five lines to the bottom. So Rabbi Chia says Amarlei. So Rabbi Chia says back to Rav. He says Bar Pachti. Bar Pachti means like Ben Gedolim. It comes up in Shas elsewhere. Like he says. Zaman Yeshlo, Kosmun Shagadel Nasher. In other words, it's only the hair only will be that long for a little period of time, and then it will fall off. In other words, like if it gets long, it falls off. So Baimine, Rab made Rabbi Chia, Mao Lachok. So Rab asked Rabbi Chia, what about like scratching or rubbing the hair so it'll fall out? Amarle Asuri said, you're not allowed to do that. He says, but Vigdo Mahu, what if he scratched it like with the garment on top of it? Amalei Mutari said, with the garment, please stop that, okay? So he says, one second. Mutar. Now, Ikita Amri.
Scratching to remove or scratching because it's itching?
No, I think he's scratching to remove it. Let me take a look in a second.
Scratching.
Yeah, one second. Let's just make sure. He says, yeah, well, to remove the hair. Yeah. So he says mutar. He says permissible. That's not called. If I do it through the garment, it's not called the feminine embellishment. We'll see in a minute. So ikada amri, two lines to the bottom. Some say, baimine bitzfila b'vigdomai. Am I allowed? This is a different question. Am I allowed to, like, scratch those areas, you know, when I'm davening through the garment? You know, so would that be, like, in other words, here he spoke, according to this Lashon, the issue is I'm doing something that seems inconsistent with tefillah. In other words, during davening, can I like scratch, you know, the armpits, you know, maybe the genital area, it's uncomfortable. So he says, but tefillah b'vigdomai, amalei asur. He's not allowed to. The Gemara says, Allah doesn't follow that, and you are allowed to scratch. It means like to make it, not to move the hair, but you have a little discomfort there. Right. Now, okay, now let me say a few pieces on this, and then we'll open up the floor for more conversation. I'm sure we're going to hear from people. Now, one second. Okay, so the Gemara relates that Rabbi Ami labeled a certain individual chaver, an individual who's meticulous in his adherence to a lacha upon noticing he did not shave under his arm. So the issue is, like, in other words, if nobody's supposed to shave under the arm, why is this guy so special that he's not shaving under the arm? So he says, the Rishonim deduced from the fact that this individual was called a chaver, that evidently his adherence to the Easter against shaving was unique, for most men in that generation would shave their body hair. Rashba proved from this incident that even if over the course of time the original custom changes and it becomes commonplace for men to shave their body hair, the prohibition for men to shave remains intact, but is considered an inherently feminine practice for one to beautify himself in that manner. So, the way the Rashba takes the Gemara, that in Achinami, it changed, circumstances had changed, and now people were doing it, but that doesn't change the halacha that is still prohibited. So even if social mores change, the Rashba takes it the halacha that stays the same. Just, well, 1 minute. Now the Ran, which I mentioned before, in Avodah Zarah, argues that Rabbi Ami would not prefer the appellation of Chaver, one who did nothing more than adhere to the Torah Easter of Lo Yilbash, even if he did so despite the mass's laxity. So according to the Rashba, means nobody was keeping this halakha, or very few people, and this person was keeping it. So he said, don't give it. Right, exactly right. He says, don't. So he says, okay, 1 minute, and he's getting the lingo right, Yosef. Now, okay, but the Ran says you don't get extra points just for observing the Torah. So the Ron therefore submits that since it was commonplace during Rabbi Ami's time for men to shave their body hair, it was no longer considered a feminine practice, and according to the letter of the law, men were permitted to shave their body hair. This individual conducted himself above the letter of the law and avoided shaving his body hair, even though it was no longer considered a strictly feminine practice. Hence, he deserved the distinction of Chavir. So he's getting to the like one issue. In other words, what if, you know, social mores change, you know, so then does the halakha, the definition of, you know, lo yibash gever simlan ish, does that change? So according to Rashba, not, but according to the Rana is learning, yeah. Now, the Prisha asserts that a man is permitted to perform a feminine practice once it has become widespread among the Gentile male population. Rabbi Kiva Eger, however, suggests the Easter is not lifted unless the practice has become commonplace among Jewish males. So, but either way, they're saying that it could change. So the preacher is saying if the non-Jewish society acts differently, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying, no, if Jewish society is acting differently, that would be the case. Now, the Maharshal disagrees with the Ron's leniency. So the Maharshal is more in the camp with Rashba. Marshall disagrees with Ron's leniency and maintains, as Rashba says, that shaving is considered feminine regardless of how many male violators there are. Nevertheless, the Marshall agrees that in a reverse situation where women discontinue the practice of shaving, men are permitted to shave for no longer considered feminine practice. So the Marshall wants to say it could change. If women stop shaving under their armpits or whatever, then men could do it if it's not a woman's practice. Now, many authorities, there's so many issues with this, really. We're just going to touch on some of the topics. Many authorities consider plastic surgery a feminine practice if performed for cosmetic purposes. Therefore, they rule that a man is forbidden to undergo such a procedure as a violation of Lo Yibash Gever Simlan Isha. So first, again, there's a lot of issues with this. First, even cosmetic surgery for women, I think there's a Tuba Rav Moshe about this. And he talks about, the way I recall, he says it's not appropriate to undergo cosmetic surgery. You're introducing yourself to a whole sakana just for the, because every surgery has an element of danger. And there are things that do happen to people when they do, you know, cosmetic surgery. I remember, this is the years ago, there was this comedian, Toni Fields, do you remember her? She underwent what was supposed to be cosmetic surgery, and something went wrong, and she ended up, I think, to have her leg amputated. I don't know, the whole thing. But things always, what? Yeah, there are these things that happen. So what, let us wait 1 minute, one more minute. So, but the issues are, though, you could have issues like depends on what the circumstances are. Like, it could be like, you know, mental health issues, like God forbid, a woman was disfigured, like in a fire, you know, and they can't walk, and they call a whole distress. So, but the issue, the idea is to remember that there are issues that relate to this thing. Okay, let me pause for a minute, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, first the mayor, and then we'll come to you, Fern. Go ahead.
It's gathering your foot through your toes.
Right.
But he says the big toe, the big toe.
Can you tell us what he's saying?
I will, just as soon as he stops talking.
You'll knock off some of the lice that's on the foot.
Yeah. So wait a second. No. But again, I'm only mutar. Now that's before the Ika de Amre, right? So Rashi's gears is slightly different than ours. The Rashi is going on the first Lashon. He says, Bevigdo Mahu. So three lines from the bottom. Our Gemara says Bevigdo Mahu. So that's where that Rashi is going. Mahu Lachok Bevigdo. And that's not the same word, but that's where that Rashi is going. It's not on the Tfila part. It's on the earlier part that we said that was to remove the hair. That's not a kasha.
Yeah, right.
Where are you reading? Which Rashi? Olahabir. It has where? Which Rashi? Wait, you're jumping around. Yeah, discomfort. Okay, Mayer was asking, he says, Rashi says that he wants to scratch to remove the lice. Yeah, so over there, right, he's discomforted. Okay, fine. So I said he was discomforted, but he's from the lice. Okay, now time for Fern. Okay, what do we got for me, Fern?
No, I was just talking before, we were talking about tzitzit and tefillin. I thought that the issue for a woman was that if she didn't have a gufnaki, she can't take these.
No, in Akinami, you have a lot of learning there, Fern. So one issue is that, you know, the women, you know, in other words, gufnaki is an issue for men and women. But for men who are mitzvah, we do the minimum. We just do it during tefillah. But women aren't mitzvah, so we say don't put it on. But besides that issue, that's one issue. But besides that issue, according to the Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel, there's a lav of lo ye kli gever al isha. Although the Gemara does learn that that Michal Batsha will put on tefillin. But anyway, that's the way the Targum learns the sugya. Okay, and it also relates to like wearing, you know, tzitzis. Like some of the women want to put on tzitzis now. All right. What? In the very modern world, you want to do it with... All right, anyway. All right, what's up? Okay. One second. Malka, I can't hear the word you're saying. You have a whole group of fans here. Let me show you all the fans. Yeah, when you speak, everybody raises their voice here, Malka. I think they've been waiting to hear from you, but I can't hear you so loud, so scream.
What I'm saying is that if tefillin is supposed to bring you to a higher spiritual level, right, because there's a whole Zohar thing, why should women be prohibited?
But they don't need it on such a high level. They don't need it.
Okay, yeah.
But who is anybody to make that decision for somebody else? We want to get higher.
So even men, we only do the absolute minimum, but men are obligated. Women are not obligated, so we say that it's better they don't put it on. In other words, because they're not going to, you know, observe, you know, be careful with it enough appropriately. So, but today we learned another potential problem with it. Okay, now, somebody, Rafi wanted to ask a question. Yeah, what's the question? What? Yeah, so the easier is to shave with a razor. If you use an electric razor, it's like a scissors. You can take a scissors to your beard. Were you here last night? So I went over at Tzemach Tzedek last night. Did you remember the Tzemach Tzedek that says that the men should not cut their hair? Right. He said that that's like lo yekli ever al isha. All right.
Israeli women carrying a gun.
All right, we'll come to it now. All right, now, so Michael spoke about Rabbi Avadia Yosef. I'll do a little piece of this. All right, let me do a little piece then, and I got to run on. Now, the Sefer told us, this is from the Daf Digest. The Sefer told us Adam recounts the wife of Rabbi Zalman of Vilna once took a sword. He gets into a whole thing about carrying the weapons. All right, let me leave out this. All right. Okay. So the wife of Rav Zalman of Vilna once took a sword to cut a rope, and her husband rebuked her and instructed her to put the sword down. He explained that although holding the sword does not represent an outright violation of the prohibition against dressing like a man, nonetheless, it stands on the threshold of the prohibition. Precedent for this can be found in the incident Sefer Shoftim when Yael took a peg, Yitada Ohel, rather than a sword to kill Sisera. She selected this implement, the Yateid, in order to avoid violating the prohibition against dressing like a man. The Torah to me, that assumes that Yael was a Jewish woman, I assume, the Torah. The Torah to me disagrees, because Chazal state, which a woman should not go out with a weapon to war, this clearly limits the prohibition to battle, and it was for that reason that Yael chose a peg rather than a sword. But if a woman wants to take a sword for some purpose that is not related to war, there is no restriction whatsoever. Now, Rabbi Avadia Yosef, who Michael just mentioned, here it is, he says, was asked whether women who live in dangerous areas near Israel are permitted to carry guns for protection. One source for leniency is found in Sefer Hasidim, where he writes that if a Jewish city is under siege or if women are traveling on a dangerous road, they are permitted to dress like men and even carry swords. The reason that Yael used a peg rather than a weapon, according to this approach, is because Sisera was tired and sleepy and did not present a significant danger to Yael. Since he could be killed with a tent peg, there was no necessity for it to take a weapon. But when there is a possible danger, it is certainly permitted for a woman to bear arms. Furthermore, the Taz cites his father-in-law, the Bach, who maintains that the prohibition against dressing like a man applies only to adornments, and even that is prohibited only when a woman wears men's adornments in order to resemble a man. If, however, she's not wearing an item that is a man's adornment, or even if she's wearing a man's adornment, but is not with the intent to resemble a man, is permitted. Therefore, since the women in question are carrying guns to protect themselves rather than to resemble men, it is permitted. So, okay, this is a very timely topic. You know, when I was younger, like the issue would be like transvestites, you know, men, people of one sex would dress like the other sex. Today, now it's like transgender. It's like men are women, women are men. The whole thing, everything is all permission. Okay. Now, let me just see if he has a little bit more here in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we've got to go on. Let's go further in the Gemara, and then we'll call it a day. Okay, so we're I'm with Bayes now. The next Mishnah, everybody with me? Nun Ted with Bayes, 59B, the top line. Okay, now if you remember the previous Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, we spoke about two Nazirim, and then one of them became Sapek Tame. Remember? So there was a third person said, "I saw Tuma touch one of you. I don't know which one of you." So then we had to figure out how they're going to bring the korban out. And there was a way to like leverage it, right? They're going to be partners and say, you know, if I'm chayiv, it's mine. If you're chayiv, it's yours, and we'll go on that way. Now this Gemara says Manitin. The same fact scenario, but made a chamihen. So I have Reuven and Shimon were both Nazirim. And then Levi says, I saw that Tuma touched one of you, but I don't know who. And then Reuven and Shimon work out their deal. But before anything could take place, Shimon has a heart attack. Now only Reuven is alive. So the issues are, how can Reuven bring, Reuven, he doesn't know if he's Tama, he doesn't know if he's Tahor. So he's going to have problems bringing all the relative korban out. So how is he going to do these things? So in other words, he, we will see how this plays out, but Lechora, he's got a problem even bringing the Korban Tumah, and he's got a problem even bringing the Korban Taro. So Meida Chadmihem, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Yivakesh Echad Min Ashuk. So the time Rabbi Yeshua says, what Reuven should do is go to the marketplace, find somebody like a ready, willing, and able person who's willing to become a Nazir, subject to these terms and circumstances. Sheidur Kenegdo Benazir. Reuven is in his term of Naziris for 30 days. And then, let's say on day five, someone says, I saw, you know, Tuma touch one of you, Reuven and Shimon, I don't know which. And then day six, Shimon drops dead. So now Reuven's in Gehafta Tziris, we would say. So Reuven should find somebody, we'll call him Zvulun, and he'll say, Zvulun, could you do me a favor? I need somebody to be a Nazir, and you need to take on the two terms of Naziris, and then we'll be able to work out my problems. Shidur Kenegdo Benazir, Va'omer, and then he says, Im Tamei Ayiti, Harei Ata Nazir Miyad. So he says, look, if I was the one who was Tamei just recently, so then you undertake to become a Nazir right now. He says, Im Tahor Ayiti, but if I was Tahor, and there was no harm to my Naziris, Harei Ata Nazir Achar Shloshim Yom, then you're going to be a Nazir in 30 days. So either way, Zvulun is going to have to observe two terms of Naziris because he doesn't know whether he's a Nazir or not. You got this?
Now he's going to be a Nazir.
Right. He's going to be a Nazir for at least 60 days. Then let's see how this plays out. The Sofrim Shloshim Yom, and then they'll count 30 days forward. So after 30 days, so either Reuven is either a Nazir Tameh who has to go through his Tahor process, or he's a Nazir Tahor who has to bring his Korban out. Or if he's a Nazir Tamei, then the other one is a Nazir Tahor. So let's see what's saying. So Uvavim Korban Tuma Korban Tara. So after the 30 days, they're going to bring a Korban of Tuma and a Korban of Tara. Now, the Korban Tuma, if you remember, is two birds. One is a Chatat, one's an Ola. And then there's a Korban Asham. We'll see how this is going to play out. And the Korban Tara, we'll see how this plays out, is three animals. One's a chatat, one's an ola, one's a shlamim. So he says, the korban tara, but omer, now Reuven will say like this, if I was the one who was tamei, you know, a few weeks ago when I approached you, korban tuma shali. So then the korban tuma, that's my korban, because I bring the korban tuma. They're bringing two korban out. They're bringing two sets of korban out. They're bringing the korban tuma and the korban tara. So he says, if I was the one who was Tamei a few weeks ago, the Korban Tuma is mine, because I'm Tamei. He says, the Korban Tara Shalchan. The Korban Tara, you agreed to be a Nazir, that's your Korban Tara. So that problem is solved. The Maniwa Tahor, but if I was the one who was Tahor a few weeks ago, Korban Tara Shali, so the Korban Tara is mine, the Korban Tuma is Safek. Now, the Korban Tuma will be wrought by Safek. Now, when we talk about Safek, so we said that there are two birds and an animal. So in this situation, they won't be able to bring the Korban Asham because they don't know if anybody's chayav with the Korban Tumah. So the Korban Asham is going to have to go by the wayside. But the other two, the two birds would be, one would be a Chatat, one an Ola. So if you remember, we learned in this Masechta that normally I can't bring a Korban Chatat on the Safek, but the bird I can, right. So the bird, we're going to bring Misafek, and the Korban Ola, no. Exactly right. You got it all, Yosef. You're ready to give the shear here. Okay, so that's it. We're going too slowly for Yosef now. Oh, we not can't get, just get rid of it, but we can't bring it. That's the problem. We have no solution. Well, we'll see. We'll see what the solution. See, this is why I'm going to be breaking Yosef. Just wait. We got another Mishnah. Okay, now with Sofrim Shloshim Yom. Now we count another 30 days because the possibilities are that Reuven might have been a Nazir Tameh. Now he has his second terms of Nazirus, or he might have been the Nazir Tahor, in which case now Zvulun has his Nazirus. We'll be in Korban Tara, and now we bring Korban Tara after the 30 days. But Omer, and now Reuven says, Imani HaTameh, if I was the one who was Tameh 2 months ago, Korban Tumah Shali, Korban Tara Shalcha. So the Korban Tumah that we brought a month ago was mine, and the Korban Tara a month ago was yours. This is Korban Tarati, and this is my Korban Tara. Umanihua Tahor, but if I was the one who was originally Tahor 2 months ago, Korban Tara Shali, so the original Korban that we brought a month ago was mine, the Korban Tumah, Misafek, the Korban Tumah was brought Misafek, Mizehu Korban Tara Techa, and this is your Korban Tahara. So that's the Eitzah, according to Rabbi Yeshua, how we're going to handle all the Korbanot and to bring everybody into a safe situation. Now, with the Korban Chatat, the key is we have to have the Korban Chatat to enable him to begin his second term of Naziris. But if we just bring the two birds, he gets to bring the second series. Now, Amar lo Ben Zoma said to Rabbi Yeshua, Umi Shomelo Shidor Ken Gaba Nazir. He says, what type of idea? Who's going to agree to be a Nazir for 2 months and this whole concocted idea? You know, good luck to you. He says, I have a better Eitzah, which doesn't require a volunteer from the marketplace. Ella, what he should do, Reuven should do, maybe he cut out of the Olat Behema. After 30 days, he's going to bring, he might be a Nazir Tahor, so he can't cut his hair. If in other words, normally if you're Tameh, so you bring Korbano, but then you cut your hair, but he can't cut his hair, so he's going to have to wait 30 days. And after the 30 days, he's going to bring a Katara Oaf, this one, the bird for Katara Oaf, the Olat Behema. So he says, V'omer, im Tameh Ayiti, if I was Tameh a few weeks ago, HaChatat Mechobati, then this Korban Chatat is my obligatory Chatat. That's the bird that I'm saying for a Chatat. V'ha'ola Nidava. And the Ola, now he's talking about an Olat Behema. So the Olat Behema is a Nidava, not the bird Ola, the animal Behema is a Nidava. Bim Tahor Ayiti, but if I was Tahor a few weeks ago, Ha'ola Mechobati. So the Ola will be the only Korban I'm bringing from the Korban Otara, V'ha'chatat Misafek, and the Chatat Misafek. So here, he can't bring all the Korbanot that would normally be brought at the conclusion of the Naziris. In other words, conclusion of Naziris, he would have to bring a Chatat, and he brings the Shlamim, so he doesn't mention bringing the Shlamim, but he's just going to bring, all he says is the Ola and the Chatat. The Sofer Shloshim Yom, and then he counts another 30 days, and we read Korban Tara. And then at that point, he brings a Korban Tara. And now this sounds like the whole shebang with Korban. In other words, he's leaning into the minimum situation initially. Then after 30 days, he brings a Korban Tara of Omer, if Tameh Ayiti, if I was Tameh 2 months ago, Ha'ola Rishon and Nadava, the first Ola was in Nadava, the Zuchova, and this one is a Chova. Bim Taor Hayiti, Aula Richon Chova, Zu Nadava, the Zu Sha'ar Korbani. And now, here are the rest of my Korbanot. So, in other words, he's going to bring, at the first 30 day interval, he's going to do the minimum for the Korban Tuma, which is just the Chatat, and that's just to get him through there. And then he's going to bring an Adam, but he might actually be, he's only one person. He might actually be a Nazir Tahor. So he wants to shave because he wants to begin the second period of being a nazir. So he in other words, in order to complete the first term of the zirus, he's got to do shaving. So he brings the korban ola in case he was a nazir tahor. Then he does another term of the zirus, and after the second term of the zirus, he brings sha'ar korbani. He says ola rishon rechova. Then he brings one. He says, "Then this one will be in a dava, and zusha ar korbani." And here's the rest of the korbanot. Now, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Nimsesemidikur Tabla Chatzayim. So Rabbi Yeshua says it's an interesting idea, but he's bringing his korbanot like staggered here or there. And the other thing, Abal Hodlo Chachamim Ben Zoma. The Chachamim agreed with Ben Zoma's period. All right, let me do five more lines, then I'll take questions, comments, thoughts. So the Gemara says, "Belati." So the Gemara says, "Why can't he bring it?" Like, what's Rabbi Yeshua's taina? So what's so in Akinami? He'll bring the korban out, and he's staggering them around. What's so terrible about that? So Amar Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel, or Amar Rabbi Yeshua, l'chadeid ba'ad atamidim. So Rabbi Yehuda says in Shmuel that Rabbi Yeshua's whole shita, where he said to get somebody from the shuk and do that, that was just to sharpen up the talmidim. In other words, he didn't even think that that was such a good eitz himself. But he just said it to see what the talmidim would come forward and to challenge him about this. And there's an interesting Rashi on this, which we'll do in 1 minute. So Amar Rav Nachman, my life with Rabbi Yeshua, Ladake, Lo Nisru. Now Rav Nachman says, what? Now it's very strange because Rabbi Yeshua himself doesn't hold from his own Shita. But Rav Nachman says, what Rabbi Yeshua do, Ladake, Lo Nisru? In other words, Rabbi Yeshua is where he's got the two people, Reuven and Zvulun, and they're both bringing for, and they're both potentially the owners of the Korbano, the Korban Tara. So the Korban Tara, you have to wave it with the Kohen, the Korban Shlamim, so you have to wave the Zerah B'Sheila. I thought there was a mistake in the art school and the Chazei B'Shok, but while everything is waiting around, so the intestines, he says, are going to get like spoiled in the sun. In other words, you're outside the base of Mikdash, it'll be in the middle of the summer, and you know, you're waiting for the other Nazir to come and go and things like that. So he says, isn't it going to lead to like a delay, and won't like the intestines, you know, get like spoiled while it's waiting out? That's a kasha, yes. In other words, within Rabbi Yeshua, with the first opinion, so they're going to bring a Korban Shlamim after the 30 days are over. That's part of the Korban Tara. But we don't know if the Korban Shlamim is from Reuven or from Shimon. So,
I thought you said Shimon, we don't.
Let me see.
That was your question, right?
Wait. Wait, hold up with his question. Let me just see what's doing here. One second. One concluding sacrifice, or one second, you're right. One concluding sacrifice. Here he says, though, one second. Right. He says in footnote 18, according to Rabbi Yeshua's solution, two people, the survivor and the volunteer, share the same concluding sacrifice. Now, you see, here he says that they would wave the shlamim. He just says a concluding sacrifice. So what did we say the concluding sacrifice was here? He says, Vivian Korban Tumah of a Korban Tara. So the Korban Tara. Korban Tara Shutfut. Yeah, so the Korban Tara, the Mishnah didn't identify what the Korban Tara was. Let's take a look. Yeah, at this point, one second. Yeah, he says here, this is footnote 8, he says, in short, at the end of the second term, they bring one concluding sacrifice and assign it to whichever of them did not offer the concluding sacrifice after the first term. Now, after the first term,
No,
that's for the tumah, but the tara, what are they bringing? Yeah, so you're right. It sounds like they're bringing one korban for the korban tara, but here he assumes that it would be the korban shlamim.
So what's he saying at the end?
So he's saying that it's going to lead to problems. In other words, after 30 days, we're bringing one korban tara, and assuming that the korban tara is the korban shlamim, we have to waive it with the Kohen.
Okay.
So if one's waiving it, and then you have to wait around and wait for the other one to come forward and waive it. He says like it's going to hang out in the sun too long and it's going to spoil. That's what he says. This is especially true of the fats surrounding the intestines. Then Zoma's solution has to be managed in this regard involves only one person. In other words, there's a nazir and the Kohen. In other words, we don't know.
Both have to waive it.
In other words, the Nazi and the Kohen waive it. Okay. So remember, it says in Chumash. So if I have Reuven and Zvulun, they don't know whose korban it is. So first one's going to have to waive it. Then we have to wait till Zvulun shows up. I don't know. He says that's what the
Kohen should. All hold it together.
Yeah, no, it's not going to work like that. It's not going to be like yeah. Okay, very quick. What? He's a Nazir, he's not allowed to be the Tommy himself.
We don't know
if he's Tommy's Tower, but I can't tell somebody to eat traithus. Okay, so now, okay, that's the way Rabbi Shu, but then Ben Zoma had a different Hezber. Okay, let me just do the last mission. We ran out of time here. There was an interesting Rashi, which I wanted to do with you, but we ran out of time. Okay, now. Let me do the Mishnah, and then we'll do the other thing. We'll see in a minute. We get time now. Banitin, Nazir Sheyatami B'Safek U'Muchlak B'Safek. This we've had several times this past week. If Nazir, he might be Tmei. He's a Nazir. He might be a Tmei Mate, and he might be Muchlak B'Safek, and he might be Mitzora. So we discussed how this could be. In other words, Tamei B'Safek. We had about two Nazirim, but you could have a simpler case. Let's say the Nazir was walking around with somebody who was not a Nazir, and somebody observes, like, Tuma touched one of them, and said, I don't know which one, I know one of you became Tommy, I don't know which one. And then, Mukhla Pesapik, we said, the Rush quotes Yerushalmi, or that's where the Arsul quoted the Rush quoting Yerushalmi, that, you know, two people come before a Kohen, and they each have signs of Nazirus, and the Kohen says one's a Nazir, and one's a Mutsora, one, and one's not, and then the symptoms clear up, and they don't remember which one the Kohen said it to, and the Kohen doesn't remember which one said it to. So Ochel B'Kachim Makar Shishim Yom, B'Shoti Yom Tamameitim Makar Meiv Estrim Yom. So if you remember, we went through this. After 60 days, they can eat Kachim. It means, let's say you have the person. He's a Nazir. So now, after 30 days, he doesn't know. He might be a Nazir Tahor, who's completing his Naziris. He might be a Nazir Tamei, who now has to do shave and begin a new term Naziris. Or he might be Mitzora, who has to do a first body shave and then do another body shave. So he's going to do a body shave because he might be the Mitzvah, to make this simple. He can't take another body shave because he might be into his second term of Naziris. So then he waits another 30 days, takes another body shave. So he waits another 30 days because if he was a Nazir, I mean a Mitzvah that interrupted the first term, and now he's completing his first term after 60 days. Now, after the 60 days are done, he's definitely Tahor. He was sprinkled with the ashes in the water, the Paraduma. He's definitely not a Nazir anymore, and he's definitely not a Nazir Tameh anymore. So now he can eat Kachim. But then he might be doing another 30 days for his Nazirus, or he might have to do another 30 days because he was a Mitzora. Now he has to do another 30 days. Another 30 days, another 30 days for that, because he might have been a Nazir Tamei. So it's 120 days he can drink wine. In other words, if he knows for sure he's a Mitzora during his term in Zeros, then in the middle he can shave. If he doesn't know if he's a mitzora, so he can't, in the middle of his term, he can't start doing a body shave because it's essay doka lota, but not where he doesn't know whether he was or not. Okay, now, let me do the Rashi quickly. It's an interesting Rashi. It says, one second where he says, where is it? One second. If you look at the fourth very wide line in Rashi, he says, Amar Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel, Yodeya Rabbi Shushain Shuvato Klum. He knew that his statement, his response didn't hold water. Rabbi Shu did. Below Markach, he only said it to sharpen up the Talmidim, Shinosim Kavachomer Atzma. So the Talmidim will use this as a Kavachomer and say, Umar Rabbeinu Shudehu Ba'atzma Shem Bezvara Below Klum, Meshiv Zvara Sheinu Mishnah. There was our Rebbe who knows that what he's saying doesn't hold water. Nevertheless, he didn't hesitate from coming forward to say it to teach people. Kavachomer Sharkul Adam Shechol Hashiv Al Divrei Rabo. Kavachomer, each of us should not be inhibited about asking questions to our Rebbe. I think Akasha. He says V'apilu Yodei Boshem V'Rav V'lo Klum U'Sharchay V'Rav Yud Maligil Alav. And he thinks that other people are going to laugh at him. Well, you're not in the show called Sarko. We shouldn't hold back from asking all of his questions. Okay, I got to break off. Anyway, let me just, wait, let me end the recording. I'll see where we go. One second.